giving. But when we talk about giving, when we talk of giving, it's not only money. We give our time to the Lord. How much time do we commit ourselves to the things of God? But today I'm going to talk about money. Why? Because money is so sensitive when it comes to children of God. And this is because many of us have all this misconception that the church is always asking for money. And this is why it's good to talk about it. You can bear with me, in some churches, many Christians have left the church because of money. Many. So we're going to look into what the Bible says about money, about giving, not really money, about giving. But the Bible did not condemn money, but it condemns the love of money. What is the love of money? That's when you let money to control you, rather than you controlling money. So we're going to look into a definition of giving. What is giving? Giving is an expression of thankfulness and praise to God. It is also an expression of love. Even in our contemporary world, giving is kind of an appreciation of love. When you love someone, you like to give. So when it comes to God, it is an expression of thankfulness to what He is doing to us. It is a giving that comes from a heart of worship. It comes from a heart. So when you don't give, when you give and your heart does not follow your giving, then you have not actually given to the Lord. So we're going to look into 1 Corinthians 4, 7. ERV. 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Easy to read version. Says, who do you think you are? Everything you have was given to you. So everything we have was given to you. So if everything you have was given to you, why do you act as if you got it all by your own power? You see, when you meditate on this scripture, you understand that you will know that this is one of the reasons we find it very difficult to give. Because when you make the money, you think that it is your strength, your sweat, that gives you the opportunity to make all this money. So our problem is acknowledging the fact that God owns everything. That's one of our problems. When we fail to understand that God owns everything, and because He owns everything, we are just stewards or managers. And as stewards, we should spend it wisely. That is the way God wants us to spend it. Because the money does not belong to you. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And He has the power, the authority to tell us this is the way we should spend it. As we go down, we'll see how we're supposed to spend our money. So when we understand these 3 points, then it will be easy to be generous. We will then love God instead of money. So what does the Bible say about giving? Why do we give tithe and offering? And why do we give to the poor? Why do we give to missions? Number one, tithe and offering are used to support the church. Tithe and offering are used to support pastors. Tithe and offerings are used to meet the needs of the church. Tithes and offerings are used for mission work. If you are in this church, you can agree with me that during the AGM meeting, we do tell the church how we spend tithe and offering. We enjoyed sitting here in a good environment with the AC on or heater on. This is what we use the money to do. We pay our pastors. Churches pay pastors. During our mission week, we gave an account of how much the church spent for the missionaries. So all these expenses come from church, I mean from the tithe and from offering. Every organization cannot survive without enough revenue to offset expenses. And when it comes to churches, God expects members of the church to raise their revenues. And these revenues come from tithe. I remember in those days in Anambra State, my dad, you know, they had two organizations that were very popular then. One was People's Club and the other one was Oganiru Society. So my dad belonged to Oganiru Society. I remember going to one of the meetings, you know, with him. And then they were there raising money for the organization. Because that is what is involved to get the organization moving. And tithe and offering is what the church depends on. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, 13 to 14. Amplified. It says, do you not know that those who officiate in the sacred services of the temple eat from the temple, that is offerings of meat and bread, and those who regularly attend the altar have their share from the offerings brought to the altar? 14. So also, on the same principle, the Lord directed that those who preach the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So why must we give? Number one is that because God is a giver. He is a giving God. When we look at Genesis 9:3, NIV says, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you, just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything. So God has given us everything. In 2 Peter 1:3, he says, by my divine power, I've given you everything you need concerning to life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So John 3:16, which we all know very well, but I'm going to read it in Message Translation 16 to 18, says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that No one need to be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger. Let me stop here. But the point I'm bringing out is that he gave his son. He gave us Jesus Christ. God is a giver. So we see how much God loves us to the extent that he sacrificed his son to us to save us. And God also expects us to do the same. That is to be givers. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, NLT. It says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, in everything we do, when it comes to giving, when it comes to loving, it says, imitate God in everything we do. Because of what? Because you are his dear children. Because we are children of God, and he wants us to imitate him in everything. Verse 2 says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. God expects us or wants us to follow his example. And his example is that he was and he is still a giver. Ephesians 2:10, which you know very well, but I'm going to read it in AMPC. Says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. That was a recreated in Christ Jesus. And there's a reason for that. Recreated in Christ Jesus. We are born anew. We are not like the world. We're not what we used to be. And since we're not like the world, we should follow the example of God, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He has already predestined us to do good work. He planned it beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. What does that mean? That we should walk in them, in that good work. That's living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That means doing good work should be our lifestyle. It should be our lifestyle. And he made it clearer here in Matthew 5:16, where he says, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. If you read the verse before this, that's verse 15, where he talks about light. I should not put light in a basket, but put the light, the candlelight, on a stand, so it will give light to everyone, so that everyone will benefit from the light. And now he says that in that same way, you should be a light for other people. So begin to ask yourself, how can I be a light to people? How can I be a light to people? And one of the ways is by giving, by trying to solve people's need. And this is what the church should be all about. The church of God should be all about helping people. So what does giving do? In other words, what is the benefit of giving? I'm just going to read one, you know, Proverbs 18:16 NIV. So that's one of the benefits. As we know that in every giving, there's always a reward. But in this Proverbs 18:16 NIV says, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. So gifts opens the way and then ushers us into the presence of the great, into the presence of God. So when we give, it's creating, opening the doors of success for us. And when we give, it shows that we recognize that God is truly the Lord of our lives. So what is the motivation for our giving? What are the things that will motivate us to give? 2 Corinthians 8:9 AMP says, for you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his astonishing kindness, his generosity, his gracious favor, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich, abundantly blessed. So Christ gave the privileges, everything he had, just for us to be rich. He made himself poor so that we'll be rich. The Christ's health giving should be our standard for our giving. We should give because of the Lord's costly sacrifice. I keep saying, if you tithe because of what Malachi says, that you'll be blessed abundantly, and he will open up the windows of heaven and shower you with lots of blessings. If that is a motive for giving or giving tithe, personally, I don't buy it. I think my motive for giving is because of what Christ did for me, because of the love he has for me, because of the price he paid for me. This is the motive. That's my motive of paying tithe. This is my motive of helping people. If God can bring himself so low so that he will bring me up, I don't see why I will not do what he wants me to do to help people. Praise the Lord. So the basic principle for giving, Matthew 6:1-4. Matthew 6:1-4. Amplify. It says, be very careful not to do your good deeds publicly, to be seen by men. Otherwise, you will have no reward prepared and awaiting you with your Father who is in heaven. 2. So whenever you give to the poor and do acts of kindness, do not blow a trumpet before you to advertise it as the hypocrites do, like actors acting out a role in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored and recognized and praised by men. I assure you, I most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. Verse 3, which is very important, says, but when you give to the poor and do acts of kindness, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in complete secrecy, for so that your charitable acts will be done in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Like I said, there's always a reward when we give. I'm going to talk about this passage of the Bible. So verse 1 says, our giving should be for the right reasons. Whenever we give, it has to be for the right reasons. We should give to the glory of God. Otherwise, we will miss our rewards. We should not give to impress people. It says, be very careful not to do your good deeds publicly to be seen by men. So when you give so that you get the praise of people, you're not getting any reward for that. In verse 2, it says, our Lord Jesus expects and requires us to give. Because Jesus told his disciples, he says, when you give, he didn't say, if you give. He says, when you give, and not if you give. This shows that our giving is not optional, but rather essential. Praise the Lord. So let's look also at Luke 6:38 NLT. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaking together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. What this means is that our giving will guarantee our receiving. And what we will receive will even be greater than what we give. Which means that if you don't give, we cannot receive. If you don't give, we cannot receive. In verse 3 and 4 of where we read before, says God says, we will receive our reward. It's born, but when you give to the poor and do acts of kindness, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in complete secrecy so that your charitable acts will be done in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God will always reward our gifts. This is what he wants us to do. He has already blessed us, and he wants us to give, to help people. Let's listen to what Jesus said about money and possessions. In Matthew 6:19-21, he says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Say, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Then he tells us in the reason in verse 21, he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. In other words, our heart follows our treasure. And he is telling us to invest our money in the kingdom of God or eternal things so that our hearts will be into eternal things. And one of the ways we do that, you know, is by giving. So how do we invest in the things of God? By giving our tithes, giving to mission, giving to the poor, etc. So he illustrated this in Mark 10. Let's look at Mark 10, 17 to 22, about the rich man that came to him asking him what he would do to be saved. He came to Jesus. We all know the story very well, but because of time, I'm not going to read it. But the lesson here is that this rich man was very anxious, was very eager to go to the kingdom of heaven. And then when you read it, you discover that he said everything Christ asked him to do, he already did it right from when he was a child. In other words, even as a child, he was very anxious for eternal life. But when Christ said, and the Bible says that Christ said that, you know, he even loved him for all those things he did or he was doing. But there's one more thing that will grant you eternal life. And that is selling everything you have and giving them to the poor. Then you have eternal life. And the Bible said this man was so rich. He was so rich that he couldn't do what Christ asked him to do. He invested his life in the things of this world, in material things. And he didn't want to share it with the poor. And he left. He left. So he missed eternal life because he refused to give. So our goal in giving will be to please God and use our resources to worship him. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. Like we read, it says, where our heart is, that's where the treasure is. So when we give, then we are directing our heart towards the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, Paul says, now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. You should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. So Paul is saying that, telling us to be ready to give at any time. Even as we come to church, we should know what to give for our offering. We should know what to give for our tithe. We should know what to give for missions. Praise the Lord. So how should we give? Our giving should be in proportion to what God has given us. In proportion to what God has given us. Then that reminds me of the parable of the servant, the talent. 2 Corinthians 8:12-14, it says, NLT, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. So whenever we call for offering or for everything, you give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. God does not expect you to go and borrow money and give. No, you give according to your income, according to what you have. God knows, he searches, he knows how much you have, because he is the one that bless you. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you be a blessing to others. So God bless you. And sometimes, when God sees the way you give, he's going to promote you. And when he promotes you, he expects you to give more. It's not that when you are being promoted, he continues to give what you have been given. Praise the Lord. So whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. So God wants us to share whatever He has given us, you know, with others. Praise the Lord. Sunday school, ushers, can you give out the Sunday school envelopes? I don't know if I'll stop here, you know, for questions, or should I continue? Yeah, I know I have just 8 minutes. Luke 12:41-44. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions." This is a very familiar story. And then we all talk about, you know, the widow's mite. Then when you look at it critically, you see that the poor widow was there and the rich people were there. You see, the rich people, God knew how much they had. Much as what they gave was bigger than what the poor widow gave. And Jesus said that as little as the poor widow gave was even bigger than what the rich people gave. And why was that? God searches the heart. He knows what I have, and He knows what I can give and still be sufficient enough to live a good life. Now, this poor widow gave everything. Everything she had, that's what she gave, including herself. But the rich people gave just a tiny portion of what they had. And Jesus said, "This is the kind of mind I want, the mind of that poor widow that gave all she had." Praise the Lord. So God values our offering differently than men do. In God's eyes, the value of our offering is not determined by the amount we give. In the passage, the wealthy gave large amount of money, but God said the widow gave more than all. Why? Because it was a costly sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Praise the Lord. So when we give, we should give cheerfully. It's something you give with joy. God does not want you to give under pressure. I thank God for this church. You know, back home, when I was in the Anglican church, when they want to raise funds, the first thing the pastor will do, the reverend pastor, he will tell the ushers to go and lock the doors. That nobody should go out. And this is how much we need. And then they start. You get up, say, I'm going to give so such amount. And that person, and then they write a name and put down the amount. So until they collect, they get, you know, what they need, they will not open the door and we can not leave. But it's not the same with this church. We have not come up here to say that we are raising funds, that everybody should do this. No. Praise the Lord. I have 2 minutes. That's a testimony I want to share. I want to read here.